Hello and welcome to episode 43 of the LDS Women's Book Review. My name is Shanda and I'm here with my friend
Sheila
and Hillary.
And we've been really trying to start this podcast off without laughing, but our two special guests here, I'm having such a good time with them that we can't help it. They are very funny ladies. Very funny and talented ladies. And so we thought we'd just, oh, what the heck, we'll start the podcast off laughing. Okay, our special guests, would you like to introduce yourselves?
Yes, I am Karen Hoover, and I am the author of The Sapphire Flute, Book 1 of the Love Child Saga.
Did you have to cheat and look off your book?
I was hoping you remembered. But she told me to do it.
I'm sorry.
I'm right there, that one over there.
I just wanted to help her.
And our next special guest is...
I'm Candace Salima, the president of Ballard Publishing Group.
And we are meeting tonight for several reasons. We spoke with these ladies at the Ballard Publishing...
It was the book launch.
Yes, thank you. And you heard from Candace last time. She's here to talk about something else, and we'll get to that in just a second. But I wanted, the first thing we usually do is talk about recent reads, but since we've been doing so much reviewing on, yes, well, the Whitney reading, but we've been doing a lot of reviewing on our blog at ldswbr.blogspot.com. So you can go there and see what we're reading. Also check out our profiles on Goodreads. You can find the, what we're reading and stuff on the
And I finally blog updated Goodreads. Mine.
Okay, good. And so what I'd like to do is ask our two special guests really quickly what you have been reading recently. Who wants to go first?
Oh, I just read Tracy Abramson's Crossfire, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it's a good one.
She's really one of my favorite writers.
She's very good.
Yeah, from the very first book she wrote, she's exciting. Her writing's crisp. Her stories are really, really good. I like her characters. She's a good writer.
She is.
Which explains why she's in a Whitney Award category this year, too. And last year, wasn't
she? And last year.
She deserves it. I mean, she deserves it.
She's a good writer.
Yeah.
Very authentic.
What about you, Karen?
I have been reading and reviewing my fellow Valor author books, so that's been fun.
Why don't you tell us what their names are?
Well, Michelle Ashman Bell's Summer in Paris.
Loved that.
Which I really enjoyed. It was a very fun story. And, let's see, Cleansing of America, new Cleon Skousen book, which was phenomenal.
I just can't wait to read that one.
It's so good.
It's number 12 in its category on Amazon already.
Excellent!
Yes. And
that's
fabulous. My mother was a huge fan of Brother Skousen, so it was an honor to be able to read that. That was very cool. And I read Tristy Pinkston's Secret Sisters, which was hilarious, like laugh out loud in public. Funny. I got so many looks from seriously laughing out loud in public. It was awesome. Let's see, what else?
I think you're working on Darren
Fraley's Darren Fraley's The Thorn right now. And he is a very good fantasy writer. Very into the details of the world.
So. A more traditional type
Very
fantasy.
Traditional, more along the lines of Tolkien and Robert Jordan, I would say.
Anything else, Candace? I know you just threw Tracy's in there, but I kind of switched to Karen before.
I read the new Jane Ann Krantz. I went to the National Market. Jane Ann Krantz Fired Up, the new Kay Hooper Blood Ties. I've got James Rollins, Altar of Eden, that I'm going to read next. And then I read the fifth book in Fablehaven, which I have no idea what it's called, but I loved it.
Keys to the Demon in prison.
Oh, yeah. Really, really good. I loved
it. I'm going to. I'm so excited.
Oh, I did it in one sitting.
Oh.
I went on strike this last weekend and just decided to do nothing.
Good for you.
And I read 4 or 5 books.
Isn't it
nice?
Fun
oh, I love weekends
that.
Like that.
Hard to call that nothing, though.
Yeah, it is hard to call that nothing.
If you knew what my days were like.
Yeah, it's like follow this woman on Facebook and you're amazed at everything she's doing.
All my pithy comments today about the Senate debate. Wow.
I was enjoying reading those. Seriously, it was fun.
Hey, I was sitting next to her watching her do it, so.
It
was my first Senate debate. It was very
That is really, what a neat opportunity. Seriously.
Yes. We had a very nice publisher-author moment as I exposed her to the world of politics.
Why she's acting like this.
She's like, she needed five
pints. Like, a little addled.
Yeah, no kidding.
It was very intense.
Yeah. It got particularly intense when everyone wanted to jump a couple of the candidates and beat them to a pulp.
There were some booze involved.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Now, let's talk about...
Yeah. Unless it's in a book.
Yeah, exactly. And it wouldn't be found in your book, though.
No, my book is very clean.
The upcoming book by Gordon Ryan, American Voices, May 4th, is a political thriller.
Okay, moving on.
Yes.
Which I can't wait to get to.
I know, because that's going to be fabulous.
Jeff Needle just did a review on it.
And what did he say?
Oh, Jeff Needle ranted and raved about it. Oh, he's a very tough reviewer.
Is he really?
AML. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's definitely in my pile of get to read because I'm
yes,
I'm almost done with all those Whitneys, so I'm going to be free to read whatever I want.
Exactly,
yes.
That's what I'm doing. Believe me, that's what I'm doing.
They really are worth reading.
No, I want to read the Whitney books. I don't mean to make it sound like that. I'm just saying that's kind
there's
of required.
There's just been so many of them,
reading.
And it's due tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. Almost there.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, so Karen.
Yes.
When we last spoke with you, you had just performed on your blue flute.
Sapphire.
Your sapphire flute, excuse me. And did a beautiful job.
It was yes.
Beautiful. Lovely.
You
yes.
did.
You're very talented.
Why don't you share with us any feedback or anything that you have come across about your book since that time?
About my book? Or
anything. Anything that you would like to share since we spoke with you last.
Yes, I've been getting some really good reviews. I've had my blog tour going on all through the month of March. I got a couple of 5-star reviews, which was very cool.
From
some
national
reviewers, which was really cool.
That's cool.
And one of them said that she imagined reading my book when she was growing up and that it would have been on the bookshelf with Madeline L'Engle's Wrinkle in Time. And she named a few others. And so for me, that was huge.
Huge compliment.
She was one of my big influences with fantasy. And so that was tremendous. And
nothing like having your book next to your hero's book when you were growing up.
That
is quite the compliment.
Blew my mind. And another woman compared me to Orson Scott Card and Terry Brooks.
Nice.
Which was really
big
nice.
So. Well, no, and here's the thing about the Sapphire Flute. This is Candace. Karen has written her story in such a way that whether you enjoy fantasy or not, you will love the book. She's so wonderful at coloring in the lines of the story and bringing it to life, just literally breathing life into the characters. And so it doesn't matter whether you enjoy fantasy or not. You will love the book.
Because like you were saying before, it's not about the world, it's about the characters.
It's about the people. I tried to write a book that I would have loved reading. You know, that was my whole purpose. And I like reading about people. I would rather sit and watch a whole season of TV than just a movie. You know, I like that continuing character.
See, I do think
so.
That's why I'm excited this is a series. It's 7-book series.
That's why I can't write anything short. my short stories turn into books and my books turn into a series because I grow attached to my characters and I fall in love with them. And hopefully that love, you know, then flows through to the reader.
I think so, because you can tell when an author really cares about the characters they're writing about, mm-hmm. rather than just that using them as tools to tell a story to sell a book.
Right.
Or killing them off in the end.
Yeah. Up with that.
I don't know. I get tired of it. No, and then another thing to show just, well this happened tonight. Karen walked into my home, and my daughter was standing there, and I brought her over to introduce her to Karen, and I told her who she was. I said, remember, this is the lady that wrote the Sapphire Flute. And what did she do?
She went,
and you tell how you felt by that.
It was just awesome. That was the best response I could ever get, you know?
Yep.
It said it all.
I think that has to be fun, you know, having people react to your book that way.
It is.
And just to you and your name. I mean, my daughter hasn't read this yet. Well, she's been reading it over my shoulder, which just drives me insane, but I've told her enough about it, and she's read the blog, and she gets to read it next, so she was just excited. But
very cool.
Yeah, I don't know about you, Sheila, but my kids really like the, what do you call it, the secondary, the experience, the benefits, that come from being able to meet these authors, like when James Dashner came.
Yes.
Friends came over to have their pictures taken with him. It was hilarious.
No,
so it's nice when you can get the... No. Only because my daughter hasn't read your book yet.
You know.
But obviously you can tell from Sheila's daughter's reaction.
That was an awesome reaction.
That was fun.
That just totally that was made fun. Me day. That
was I'm fun. Sure if my daughter had read your book, she'd probably react the same.
It's been fun. I get
used to it.
It's been really fun.
Yeah, she needs to get used to it.
I don't know if I ever can get used to it, but I'm one of those humility. People that I'm just me, you know, and I'm just trying to write a book that I would like to read, but in it just thrills me that other people are finding joy in it too.
Okay, so follow up, what is coming after this?
Book two?
I mean, right, just you. I remember, right, but what?
What's the name of the book?
Yes, okay. A little more detail.
A little more detail. It's called The Armor of Light. The whole series.
Same characters?
Same characters. Oh, yes. Yep, I follow the same three characters.
They're all women.
They are.
That's what I loved about your book, mm-hmm. And I said this in my review.
Even the villain.
Yes.
Even the villain.
There are three strong women, and it's fabulous. You know, I love reading that, especially in a fantasy book. You right. don't find that always.
It's rare.
There are some female villains, but you don't ever get like a full all-female cast.
And that's what's so great about her.
And you're not usually in their heads. They tend to be secondary characters, not point of view characters. Occasionally, but not often.
So. Now, if you want to know the release date for The Armor of
Light,
it is March 15th. 2011.
It kills me because
I want to read what happens next.
But you know, the thing about your book, you didn't leave it with this awful cliffhanger, which I get tired of, awful cliffhangers. Right. But you left it in a place where it just went, it will go smoothly into the other part of the story. I mean, something major, mm-hmm. it happens at the very end that you find out something about somebody that I really can't say, but you find out.
Could you be more vague?
Really you find out something about one of the characters at the very end,
yeah,
and you know where the story is leading.
You do.
Maybe that's a better way to put it. I'm not going to tell you, so don't ask.
I'm assuming you're talking about Ember's story.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm
yes. Well, let me tell you a little about that without giving much away.
Yay!
That had a completely different ending to begin with. And my lovely editor, Miss Tristy Pinkston,
uh-huh.
Sent it back to me and said, no, you need to rewrite this because everything beforehand was... given as just being observed. Like, you know, they had just seen what had happened and we were seeing the after effects of it. She's like, no, we need to witness this. And so I had to go back and rewrite it. And that particular scene was really close to my heart because of some of my own personal experiences. And so I sobbed just writing this last chapter. And then I took it into my mom and I read it out loud to her and we were both just, you know, just sobbing, reading this chapter. And I knew that if it had that kind of effect for both of us, that I had done it. And so when I sent it back to Tristy, I said, did I do it right? Is this it? And she sent back and she said, it's exactly right.
Perfect. Oh, it just gave me chills, but it's very powerful.
It's
can't wait to get to it.
Yeah. It's sitting right here.
I know. I know where I can find it.
Yes.
Okay, so is there anything else you'd like to share about what, you know, you're working on besides book two?
I am working on book two. It's about two-thirds done. And each book in the series is about one of the keystones. Just a little about the book, the world. Okay, I'll just give you a little history lesson really quick. The world...
A made-up history.
This is where we need to talk about 25 lines or whatever.
Yeah, and I'm really bad at that. So, basically, when the guardians, who are like the gods, created the world, there was a big battle that took place that almost destroyed the world. And so to hold it together, they divided the white magic that they had into colors of magic, like light through a prism. And they used it like a net to hold this world together, and they rooted that net to the world with each color having a keystone. So there are six colors. There's your three primary colors, your three secondary colors, and then there is pure white magic. So there's seven colors that are rooted to this world. And the whole series, each book, is about finding one of those keystones and trying to bring them together to heal the world.
Isn't that a great storyline? I mean, I loved it. I mean, because I've read so much fantasy and about, you know, so many different worlds that I've read about, but I loved this. And it was so easily understood. It was so beautifully written. Seriously, it's one of my favorites.
Thank you.
I read it. I don't like fantasy, and I've read it three times.
That gives me hope.
You should have hope. I think you'll really like this, honestly.
It sounds like
I know
it.
You will.
She writes a pretty good kissing scene, so I might.
it wasn't bad.
It's about the people.
Give her kudos for that.
Kudos for the
Yeah. So, what else I'm working on? I have another book that's finished that's...
the one Candace hasn't read yet.
Yeah, the one Candace hasn't read yet.
You can't see me, but I just rolled my eyes up into my head. And
yes, she did. It's okay. She's been a little busy. I forgive her. So, it's a fun one. So that one's finished, and it's also a series. I've actually got about 30 books in my head at the moment.
I believe that.
It's amazing what's there.
Yeah, my problem is not coming up with ideas. It's just choosing between them. So,
So we're over here going right.
You're not alone.
Right.
So is her publisher.
Well, apparently you're not reading it. Come on,
you can hold it over.
You're busy or something. Yeah. I mean,
I have a question about all of this. Now, I know you've probably told me the answer to this before, but Valor was not the first place you had sent your manuscript, correct?
No, it was not. Yes, it's had quite a journey. When I first finished it, it was about 5 years ago. And I didn't realize that I needed to edit it before I submitted it.
Woo! That's so
important. You know what? Can I just interject? Yes, really edit your manuscripts before you send them in. Don't send us first drafts. They'll get rejected.
Yeah, mine did. I actually got a couple of requests for partials off of that one. And then I had a rejection that, it hurt.
They did it meanly.
No, they did it in a very mean, here's everything that's wrong with your book, and it's total frou-frou. That's what they told me. It stung. So I started going to conferences and learning how to edit, and then started sending it out again, and then I started winning some of the contests, and so...
All of the contests.
Okay.
Yes, that's true. The big one last year.
Well, I did.
Every year.
For three years.
Wow.
Four prizes.
My heavens.
Yeah.
So was it after last year's big win
that
someone from Valor...
Are we talking about, Story Maker Conference entries?
Story Makers Contest.
Yes.
Yes. I took first and second in fantasy in 2007, first in 2008, and last year I took grand prize.
Yeah,
so
and she deserved it.
It was very fun. So I had my manuscript under consideration with a big publisher.
Go ahead and say
big national,
because guess who didn't get it?
That's okay. We don't have to resort to pettiness here.
Say who it is.
Who is it?
It was a tour.
Wow.
The premier publisher of fantasy in the world.
They had it for a few months. And then Candace approached me at after the Storymakers conference. And she said, if they don't want it, I do. And I said, oh, great. I'll tell her that I've got another offer on the table. And she said, you do. So I said, oh, okay. So I, took it home and thought about it and, kind of searched out my heart and took some heavenly advice and pulled it out of Tor and took it to Valor. So.
Wonderful.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Jumped
all over it.
Yes, they did. Can I tell on you?
Oh, good.
they were so excited, they forgot to take it to the board before telling me they wanted it.
Oops.
You know what? I'm the president of the company. If I want it to be published, it's going to be
I just thought that was awesome.
So did you have to go back and, or were they okay with it?
No, they just read it really fast and had an answer for me within a few days. So it was really awesome.
Well, congratulations anyway.
They didn't have hundreds of manuscripts at the time. Now people are listening going, days? Days? You heard of days?
I know.
I read 3 months!
I thought you were saying, that's all we had at the moment. But,
No, that's not what I'm
just
saying.
Teasing.
We had a little more time back then.
Yeah, you did.
Because you were newly formed, right?
Yes,
you had just started forming.
Karen was our second author. Mark Sherliff was the first, and Karen was the second.
So what did you see in Karen's writing that you wanted to grab onto her? What
dimension? Color?
Yeah.
Literally?
Yeah.
Literally. But it was a story that grabbed me right from the beginning and kept me in the story until the end. And I liked the characters. I liked the growth of the characters. The story was just intriguing. It was a fun story. I liked it.
Good. I agree. Everything you said about that story, I agree.
Okay, so you mentioned that you had submitted it to LDS Story Makers contest.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did.
So how long have you been attending Story Makers?
This year will be my 5th year, I believe.
Is that the conference that made the most impact on your writing?
Yes, it absolutely has. There's no doubt about it.
I can't wait to go.
Yeah, you guys are so much fun. Excited. Last year was my first year, and I was blown away.
Specifically, how exciting it was. The boot camp that they have in the morning beforehand, because you get to sit in a small setting with an author who's published, and you're critiquing each other's work.
And those spots go fast when registration starts.
Sure, I'll do it. I was going to do it this year, and I totally chickened out.
It's like an intensive.
So worth it. On the boot camp, you've got to make the decision now. Yeah. Well, so that next year, the second they open, me.
Well, I registered like the day after it opened.
It was too late?
Well, no, I just chickened out. I didn't know. I just thought, I'm not ready for this yet. I need one more year.
So why do you think you didn't feel ready for it yet?
I just felt like if I'm really going to be doing this, I need the training.
The training? You mean by attending conferences?
Yes, by attending the conferences, going to more classes, feeling like I really have studied the craft before I decide that I am a writer. I just felt like that's important because there's a lot, it's like you said before, you know, a lot of those people that have finished a manuscript and they send it in, they've never edited. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all these, there's a lot more than just writing a story down.
Do you know what? Authors that have written 20 or 30 books still have to edit.
Yeah.
Everyone has to edit. It's just the nature of the game. It's part of the process. Yeah.
Well, and there's so much more than that. That's when I sat there last year when I was attending the conference, it was like, wow. Because I really thought that I could sit down and just write all these stories that have been rolling around in my mind. And I realized, no, you really need to go and you need to learn so much. Yeah. If you really want to write a good book. It's more, I know that ultimately it's just getting your story down, but I think there's more to it than that. Because until we learned about the hook, it's like, what's a hook? And I know what a crochet hook is, but, you know, I mean, those little things, you know, and writing characters like you do, that's an art to be able to write good characters.
Well, I didn't do it alone.
Well, I just wanted to interject something really quick.
What's that?
For me, attending LDS Story Makers isn't necessarily about... because I have a book I want to write. Eventually, that would be kind of fun and kind of cool. You know, that would be to join the ranks of published authors, my colleagues, the people that were, you know, consider them officially my colleagues. And I could be one of them. But I want to go to learn more just about what there is behind a story so I can be a better judge of the writing. So I can understand a little more about what is happening in the story. Why do I like this book so much? Is it, you know, I can say, oh, I like it so much, the characters, this, or whatever, but if I can say, this is how they're presenting it, this is why I like it so much, you know, I think you can enjoy, and maybe even not enjoy, other books. Like, you know, because I also worry a little bit about learning or knowing too much and having it take some of the...
You know what? That don't worry about that. And really, the best way to become a really good writer is to read really good writers.
Right.
If you are not reading good writers, and I believe I've mentioned this before, have I? Okay. If you're not reading really good writers, you will write poorly, even if you're a good writer.
That's true.
For instance, as an example, Patricia Cornwell, fantastic storyteller, horrible writer. Now, here's why. You read her book, and then you try to write, you're going to write very, very, very poorly. You read a good writer, a really good writer, and then your own voice comes out and you're able to write well. So after I read a Patricia Cornwell, I have to read like 5 Nora Roberts before I can write again.
But you enjoy her story, Patricia's.
Well, yeah, I bought all the books.
Right.
Yes. Oh, no, I love the stories. Yeah, I
it's just
only
about
quit
the way they
her write. After the direction she took some of the characters I didn't enjoy, and I finally stopped after about 10 books, or however many are out there now. But yeah, I mean, she's a great storyteller, fantastic storyteller.
So there's a question that lies in and of itself, and maybe you can tell us if you learned the difference between that at LDS Story Makers Conference, Karen, is, I guess, because I haven't written anything or tried to write anything, and I haven't even really studied the craft besides AP English, which was blah.
Then you studied the craft.
Yes, but without...
The boring part.
It was 15 years ago.
Years ago. I've forgotten that part of the craft. What is the difference, I guess I'm trying to understand here as a reader, what is the difference between someone who writes a good story but is a poor writer, yet you can still enjoy her story? Do they explain that?
Tag your in your
Karen. Do they explain the difference between that? At least have they in the past at the conference?
I feel like they have. Okay, this is just my opinion, but I think that it's something that matters more to writers than to most people. Because writers tend to love the flow of words. We like the hooks. We like the building of characters and seeing their growth. And, you know, we like all of breaking it all down into what makes it a good writing, not just a good story. Stories sell books. You know what I mean? A good storyteller doesn't have to be a great writer. They sell books. But writers in particular really like to know how that breaks down.
So that explains why sometimes I read reviews by authors who say, love the story, but the pacing was awful. Whereas as a reader, I wouldn't necessarily realize what pacing is.
And if you came to the LBS Storymakers Conference this year, I am teaching the class on pacing.
Oh, really? Wow, that worked out really well.
How ironic is that? I swear, I didn't know about I didn't know about that beforehand. So
that's
like,
very good.
Well timed or something.
Very awesome.
Awesome.
Yes. So, that's my take on it.
Why don't you explain a little bit more on that, Candace? My opinion is
that we have lowered the reading IQ of America.
I agree.
Drastically. And part of what Valid does and what we publish is we have a really high standard of writing. I really insist upon a high standard of writing. Not the same voice, not the same style, not the same genre, but the quality has to be there. And the reason is because I want to take Americans, help them to start reading and start realizing that they should be they have a right to receive and read high quality writing.
So maybe they need to be a little more particular?
Yeah.
I agree.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. As an example, let's take Stephanie Meyer's wildly successful series, The Twilight series.
Definitely.
Yes. Huge. She didn't start out a good writer. Twilight, the first book, not well written,
but a great story.
Mostly, except Bella needed to be smacked upside the head.
Okay. Yes, I totally agree. I think all of us agree with that.
I just want to put a little note here. That is also, I think, part of good writing is when you can write someone who you want to smack. Hmm. I don't know. That's just because you're not always going to like everybody in life, so you can't always
you
like everybody in a book.
You should like the main character.
That I agree with.
Yeah,
yes.
The main character, and so. Having her as neurotic as she was, or as sulky as she was.
Sulky I had a problem with. Yeah. That was really irritating.
The sulky I had a problem with, too.
Yeah.
But do you know what? With every book,
Mopey.
What I was going to say is, with a series, I can put up with a lot when I know it's the first book, because I expect the character to progress. So, if the character is progressing throughout the series, I can deal with it for a while. But if I don't see her changing and growing, then I won't finish the series.
So. Gotcha. That's a very good point.
And actually, I haven't finished that series. So.
I have.
You can just skip the fourth book.
And there's another book coming. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Novella
that's really not. That one. Yeah,
no,
it takes place in Seattle.
It's the one about the minor characters.
Yeah.
The minor characters.
Yeah, the Seattle one of the
Who?
Newborns.
Yeah,
Bree.
One of the newborns, yeah.
It's supposed to be a novella, but it's 200 pages.
Yeah. And they're calling it a novella?
She is.
Well, I guess compared to the rest of her books.
Compared to everything else it is.
Well, out of all of her books, I like The Host the best. I like that one.
Me too.
You'd probably like that.
I didn't like it. It was very well written.
It was well written. I didn't like it either.
I'm not fond of Possession as a story.
Oh, no. It's very big and sci-fi.
But you said it was well written.
I know.
It was.
Yeah.
It was very well written. She did a good job.
Too bad she didn't bother with the fourth book.
Well,
but
you know, that one I think became more of serving the readers more than anything. But
what,
so,
The Host?
No, the last book.
The last Twilight series.
I liked that one the best.
The fourth one?
Don't really?
Look at me that way.
I think Candace likes her stories wrapped up in pretty bows.
I do.
There's nothing wrong with that.
You know what? I do too, on the most part. It just depends.
You know
I just didn't like the way she did it. That was my whole issue.
Stinks.
It really does.
So often, every portion of it stinks. It is beautiful and it is wonderful, but crappy things happen to you.
Yep.
You know what? I just don't want to read about it unless it ends well.
I agree. It's hard.
That's
hard.
Just me.
Well, and no, if you read a whole book, that either. But if you read a whole book, that's just so depressing. I can't do that constantly. You know, that it's just everything's down, everything's going wrong throughout the whole story. I don't like
there
that.
That's
to
why
be
I can't watch movies on Lifetime. I can't watch Lifetime movies.
In my opinion, there needs to be a progression in the characters.
I agree.
And
I'll second that.
Hopefulness at the end. The problem doesn't have to be resolved perfectly. It does not have to have everything all good and sweet and right in the world. But I've got to close that book going,
yes, life is
yes.
good. We're okay.
And
I love
if
that
you
feeling.
Can't do that at the end of a book, that book did you a disservice.
Well, I don't feel so bad because that's how my last one was that I just read. I'm very dissatisfied because I didn't feel all warm and fuzzy when I finished it. I really didn't.
I think
we'll read about that later.
I think warm and fuzzy is great, but every once in a while.
Yeah, but it needs closure. Mm-hmm. Closure is the thing, though.
Closure
I'm with Candace
is what
on
gives
this
you
one.
Warm and fuzzy.
Yes, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be that it ended well, like she said. It just has to be like, okay,
that's
I can finish this book and I'm good.
Kimberly's book, I'll Know You by Heart.
Yes,
wonderful.
It was
she's
loved.
A
that was
really
fabulous.
Good writer, just like Karen. I'm that. And yep. I know, I think I said this last time, every one of the Valor authors, I believe, are brilliant writers in their genres and in their own ways. Each have their own unique voices. And Kim is every bit as good as Karen and in a different genre.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm excited to see where Valor goes. I mean, I know right now it's in its infancy or toddlerhood or whatever you want to call it. But because I don't know when it came to be in your mind exactly, but...
5 years ago.
5 years ago. Okay, so we're going into preschool then. But you know, I as the publishing house grows and grows, and as the authors within that publishing house grow also, and their stories become endeared to the readers' hearts, it's interesting to see the growth not just of the characters in the stories, but the writers of the stories mm-hmm. and the publishers of the stories. Mm-hmm. So. I'm glad that we were able to be involved in this little bit, just kind of
at the
beginning, just to kind of see the seeds planted, to see the sprouts come up.
Well, this is where I intend to be in 5 years, bigger than Doubleday and Random House.
Wow!
Oh yeah.
No one can say Candace does not know where she's going.
Exactly.
No. It's a really. I don't think I've ever been. There's been a moment in my life where I didn't know what I wanted, where I was going, where I was headed, and that's changed at times. But it becomes very. Kind of coalesced in my mind very clearly. Mm. And the path there is very clear to me, and I just don't care how hard it is, I'll go get it.
And she's very good at it.
Yes, she is. She accomplishes a lot. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm not alone. I have heard many authors say, if anyone can make this work in this world that we're living in right now, Candace Salima can do it. And I believe that.
Yeah.
I agree.
So do I.
Yeah,
definitely proving it. It's awesome.
You know, I wish you guys could have had a little view into the, I don't know, 2 hours that we spent together eating and conversing before we began this podcast. We have some wonderful women here with us. I have been so impressed with Karen and Candace, and I'm not just saying it because they're here looking at me.
Wondering what she's
although,
but especially listening to Candace, this woman knows stuff. I mean, she knows her stuff. She knows things. She's a very well-read and intelligent woman, and she also has so much integrity and holds to her principles so strongly. I really wish there were more people out here. That were, and I feel like we're kind of kindred spirits because I feel that way. I have things that I just know that I don't waver from, that this is just, these are my principles. And so it's really refreshing to meet someone who kind of is the same a little bit as me. You're much more successful and determined and things like that. I feel like I'm a little more distracted in life, but.
I am much older than you, though. My first
oh, whatever.
Was when I was
40.
I was.
You don't even look well.
I was actually
40.
Saying, how old is she?
I'm turning 47 in July.
You are?
Yeah.
Hey.
Thank you.
Never. No, seriously. That, no.
Wow. Seriously, I was born in 1963, the year Kennedy was shot, months before he was shot, 2 months before.
Wow. This is not a fake look of shock. Where
does
that
go? Can you hear the stunned silence?
Do you have wrinkles?
What
no. I don't know. I can't tell her that. She's
47?
Not
oh.
Not quite.
in July. I'm 46 right now. don't make yourself older than
you know. The other day, I was like, dang, I'm close to 50. When did that happen? How'd that happen?
No, seriously, you don't.
I know.
I would have said, seriously, if you had asked me, I'd have been like, 38?
That's the same number I was going to say.
Aww. Really?
Yes!
No joke.
That's yeah, awesome. If I hadn't drunk as much pop as I've drunk in the last 10 years, I'd have looked younger.
Oh, that's okay.
Wow, so funny. Oh, my goodness.
One of the reasons you came tonight, Candace, is you wanted to talk specifically about LDS Storymakers Conference, mm-hmm. and it's just kind of played into what we were talking about earlier, because I wanted to know about the contest you had won, Karen, and I was not surprised to find out it was the LDS Storymakers Conference. I don't know, how long have they been having these conferences,
this is
you know?
The seventh year.
The seventh conference.
The very, very first LDS Storymakers Writers Conference is where I found my publisher. That was in April, 2004, when I was on the shelves with Out of the Shadows into the Light by December.
Oh, that is fabulous.
Wow.
And I was a story maker the next year, and I've taught at every conference since.
Okay, so how did you, where did you study about writing before LDS Storymakers Conference? Did you have other conferences? And you don't have to name them. I just wondered if there's...
No, that's my first writer's conference. I majored in it in college.
Okay. I just wondered about previous experience.
I have five screenplays. I wrote screenplays for a long time. I didn't write a book until I was 39.
Wow. So, any screenplays we would know?
No. They are being looked at right now, as a matter of fact.
Cool.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Like movies or like...
Movies.
Cool. Really?
Very neat.
That's very,
okay,
very
so neat. Why don't you indulge us about what you would like to share about LDS Storymakers?
Well... We've got the seventh one coming up April 23rd and 24th.
Yay!
I'm so excited.
And last I heard, there were still openings.
There are. We're at the Provo Marriott. It's going to be really hard to fill all the way up. They opened up rooms and rooms and rooms for us to make sure we had enough room.
I hear it's
so.
We're not
taking any walk.
Oh,
take any walk-ins this year? No, wait. We are. Wait, what conference am I thinking of?
Go to LDSStorymakers.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, LDSStorymakers.com. Click on Writers Conference, and you can see. I all of a sudden, I'm having a thought that...
It's on the left-hand side of the webpage.
This year. Anyway, the conference itself is 2 days of intensive classes on different aspects and skills of writing. Now, I have been to other writers' conferences since, and I can uncategorically say LDS Storymakers Writers Conference is the best writers' conference in the nation.
Yay.
I totally believe that. I've never been to any writers' conferences, but from what I've heard from other people, from when we've come, you know, when we've come to the Whitney's, we've been to the Whitney's three times. And speaking with people afterwards and, you know, how did you enjoy the conference and looking at the classes they were offering and this, just the skill that we know exists amongst LDS authors, all the people that come to LDS Storymakers, are they all LDS?
Well, you can't be a storymaker unless you're LDS
published.
LDS person.
Right, but who comes to the conference, though?
Everybody. Oh, but anyone is invited.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So the attendees of the conference may not all be LDS.
Correct.
Oh, they would. Well, they aren't all LDS at all.
So it isn't limited to members of the LDS Church.
No, we don't sit there and teach gospel doctrine.
Right.
Not at all.
We teach you pacing. We teach you characterization. We teach you world building. We mm-hmm. teach you
everything.
How to sell your book.
How to write a query letter. How to create
a character Bible. Annette Lyon.
Even technology.
Released a grammar book last year.
I love that.
She's the grammar queen. And so there's a grammar class every year. We teach classes on contracts and how to protect yourself, on marketing. And there's four different tracks.
So there's going to be four different tracks. So you're saying we can choose between the four different classes each?
From beginning to advanced.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So if you're brand new, you stick with track one.
Right, if
you've been there before and you feel like you've progressed a little, you go track two, track three, then track four.
How do you know track one and track two and track three?
I
didn't see that.
It's laid out like that.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
How? Because I've seen them.
I guess I should go look.
In front of me right here, and it's not quite.
Is this something that they just decided on?
No.
The track, so it's always been there.
We've been doing it for about the last four years, I think.
Well, and you know,
I just wandered around from class to class last year.
You don't have to stick within one track. You can take what you feel applies to you.
Okay. See, I didn't even realize that they had it like that.
Yeah, it doesn't appear that way.
I would like to, you know, because there's somewhere I'm like, I would not, I don't really care about world building and all that stuff, but I'd love to read about description. You know, I want to know, I don't really care about character Bible right now, but I'd really like to learn about. So I didn't really pay attention to track one or two or three or four. I just picked which ones
I've always
wanted
just
to take
picked
and,
what I wanted
well, that
to take.
I did, like I said, last year I didn't even know he could do that. I just kind of picked out the classes I was interested in. And I love the panels.
You tend
too.
To
well,
drift.
If you look at them, if you look at the classes, you can see there's different levels of writing on there.
Okay.
And
oh, I didn't
to,
really look
yeah.
at them.
You tend to drift into
okay.
the track where you should be. You know what I mean? Like last year when I went, I mostly took advanced classes because I already knew all the stuff that
right,
was in
you'd been doing
the other
for
tracks.
So much
but
longer.
Every once in a while there would be something that was on a, you know, a lower track that
right.
I was like, oh, I would really like to take that. And so.
So whatever you're interested is, you interested in River holds your interest more is usually
it's
the right
where
spot
you
for you
to
anyway.
Be.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I really look forward to learning more about description and characters and voice and things like that because
it's fascinating.
Yeah, I want to be able to recognize that more
mm-hmm.
in the books I read. As a reviewer, I think that learning all of the behind-scenes stuff can only help in not just reviewing, but
right.
maybe someday writing that novel.
You never know.
One day. Me too.
Like,
one
I'm
day.
One of those people that's like, I won't host a party, but I'll buy your stuff.
I
so
that,
I don't necessarily want to write the book, at least not right now, but I like to read the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really looking forward to learning more about all the details and being able to understand why an author might have done something that as a reader I wouldn't understand, but as
mm-hmm.
a writer, I would probably say, aha,
right.
that was a good move.
Well, you know, writers can also become too critical and take all the enjoyment out of reading and
well, that's what I was
and
saying
you
earlier.
You do not want to go that direction.
No,
right?
I don't.
You,
I'm just hoping that it doesn't spoil anything as far as, you know how when you just sit down and read a book and you just let it take you away?
And you
I still want to be able to do
still
that.
Still make a choice to do that. If the book is well written.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But sometimes even, you know, there are times when I know a story is not written really well, but I really like the story, and or I really like the character, and so I'll put up with the cruddy writing just to get,
mm-hmm.
you know, just
is this
to
what
get
you were talking
fix.
About earlier?
Yeah.
I got
so you. So you can train yourself that way, you know? You just have to learn to ignore the stuff that's bugging you.
You sound fairly experienced
oh,
in
yes.
that.
I am very experienced at that. You know, and there are some things that I can ignore easier than others. I have a friend who cannot stand a sad ending. She will read the last chapter of the book before she buys it or
oh,
picks it up.
I cannot stand that.
I will, but
I
she
what, reading
hates
the end
reading
ending.
Both.
I know,
but
she,
I just
I
especially detest people that read the end of the book before they read the beginning.
But she cannot take an unhappy ending. And so for her, it's
like
a
it just devastates
thing.
Her?
It does. And so she won't read it if it's an unhappy ending. I can't do that. I have to start at the beginning.
Yes.
Well, okay, let me change that just a little bit. When I'm looking for a new book to read, I will read the back, you know,
yes.
read the little blurb, and then I flip to somewhere in the middle.
I do the same thing.
And just read, and if I like the style, you know, if it catches my interest and draws me into the world, then I'll buy the book.
I'll do the same thing.
The first paragraph.
Yeah, see, I remember you saying that you read the first part of it, and I do the same thing. I don't usually flip to the middle, I usually read. Go right from the beginning.
And if
and
it
read.
Starts with I close the book and put it back on the shelf.
Unless it's mine. Actually, I do have to say that first year that I went to Storymakers, I was at Candace's table, and she read part of The Misadventures of a Teenage Wizard.
Really?
It was very good.
And she liked it.
I do.
And she did say, you know, it would be so much better if you would just switch it to third person. And I said, you know what? I tried, and his voice just... He totally lost his voice when I switched it to third. I couldn't do it.
Interesting.
It wasn't the same thing. And she said, well, then that's the way you need to write it. So
what was
so
I
she gave me
permission. years ago.
Yeah. You gave me permission.
I put Tristy on a first-person budget. She's only allowed to pub. We're only allowed to... She's only allowed to convince me to publish two of those a year.
Of which mine will be one, right?
Well, she's not
oh,
holding
shit.
Back on twisting your arm tonight, is she?
Yeah, because I can do it in public.
I love
it. Witnesses. She can't hurt me.
No.
Never mind.
So Candace, continue
yeah.
on
anyway,
with all the
Storymakers. So, Storymakers Conference is taught by Everyone who's published. You have to be a publisher. You can't teach. No, that's not true. They pulled in a couple this year who haven't been published before, but are specialists in the like arena web. That we want to, yeah, like in websites and blogging yeah. and stuff
oh,
like
well,
that.
That's
you
a
know,
bit different.
That's
yeah.
okay.
Right.
But also we have, Jessica DeGeorge is going to be there again this year. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she rocks.
And Lynn Pike mm-hmm. and
yeah.
Dave Wilberton slash
Farland. Yes.
Sean Barrows is going to be there performing on
Yay.
Friday night.
That will be fun.
He's one of my favorite musicians. Yeah, he was the one.
He did great
at
the.
Oh, it was wonderful
at the book launch yeah. party.
It was fabulous. He was
Can
great.
Can I just say how intimidating it was to play after him?
I would have felt the same way.
My friends were like seriously afraid that I was going to pass out. It was so scary.
Sorry, I didn't think
about it. You know, you really hide your nervousness well because, well, I didn't see you. I heard you from the other side of the store because I didn't want to leave my expensive equipment alone. Sorry, oh. Barnes & Noble. Don't trust you. Right. Not them, the so right. themselves, but it was right by the door. Anyone could have just taken off of it. But from listening to you, beautiful.
Well, thank you.
You didn't sound nervous at all.
I
and tonight,
that.
You didn't look nervous at all. I had no clue. I was so surprised to find out you were nervous. You're not nervous anymore, are you?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
But thanks for pointing
See, we're
it
nice.
Out.
We're nice. We kick
I
it back.
I you
we
guys
relax.
Were nice, or I wouldn't have thrown myself in front of your car last time I saw you.
That was funny.
Oh, yeah. No, I have a story to tell. And
go ahead.
You were there last year when she won her grand mm-hmm. prize award.
I was.
And this was, and I really didn't know that much about her. I'd heard about her, and I saw her at the conference. But when they announced the winner of the grand prize and said Karen Hoover, everyone jumped to their feet, started applauding, and were screaming, and I mean, seriously.
It's because we love Karen.
I know, seriously. This is what kind of person Karen
cry.
Is. No, it's true. I mean, I just thought, I need to get to know her. And so I did. The next time I saw her was another conference I went to, but that's, I just kind of...
Was that at the Book Academy?
It was. I just
yeah.
kind of...
She did. She was like, Karen,
I did.
I heard you have a book coming out.
Yeah, I know. I was so excited.
Wow, that's really cool.
I've been talking to Tristy a little bit.
Oh, Tristy. I think I'm her biggest fan. She's brilliant. Well, maybe Candace.
She
hired her.
Is brilliant.
She
is yes,
brilliant.
Isn't she wonderful?
She is the best
yeah.
editor in the business. Again,
seriously.
Against the Big East, I would.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you remember when I said... That I the characters didn't get that way themselves.
Right.
It's because
right.
of her. She took what I had done, and when she saw what I was doing wrong, like that I had consistently done something wrong, she would like stop her edit, and she would insert this little mini lesson in my edit. And like
yeah.
say, this is what you're doing wrong. This is why it doesn't work. This is what you could do to change it using my own words, and this is why it would work. And so like I got it.
Like, I like that.
It was so amazing. I finally realized that a book was not about... I'm sorry, I keep banging the table. I finally realized that a book was not about a procession of events that take place,
right, right.
but it was about the character's emotional reactions to those events. And it totally changed my perspective on writing. So...
Do most editors do that? You know, kind
yeah,
of
no,
try to
no,
help so
no.
they don't do that. And so, see, that's
yeah,
the beauty of an editor like this.
Brilliant.
I mean, you're actually learning things and not just being told
right.
you're doing something wrong.
Well,
right?
She's really good in explaining it in such a way that anyone can understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I have had people critique manuscripts and I'll read their comments over and over and over and I'll go to Tristan and I'm like, what? And she'll read it and say, yeah, ignore that.
I love that.
And then she'll say, here's what they're trying to say. And the way she explains it is just so easily understood. And she's
Seriously.
So brilliant at maintaining the author's voice. She doesn't
yeah.
rewrite things in her voice the way she wants to tell it.
Yeah, she no. corrected me on that on our blog.
Yeah, she
the other day.
Did she really?
All the work.
Well, yeah, because I reviewed Kimberly's new book, and I said, yeah, that first chapter, I said it reminded me of Tristy Pinkston. I said, that's clearly she edited it, and she writes on there at the very, no. Actually, I didn't write it. Yes, I edited it, but that was all Kimberly's writing. And I'm like, oh, it was great. It was fabulous.
Yeah, Kimberly's a, okay.
She's a great writer.
You know what?
Great writer.
I started out in the same critique group with Tristy and I after a few conferences ago. I don't know when it was, but Keith Fisher, Kimberly Job, Nicole Giles, who
mm-hmm.
has a couple books
right.
out now,
mm-hmm.
and Tristy and I, seems like, oh, and Heather Justison. okay. We were all in it. And so Kimberly,
these are all familiar names. This is
yeah.
so awesome.
Yes.
Kimberly comes at our first critique group. She goes, well, I just wrote this last night. And we're like, and in my head, I'm like, oh, okay. And then I read it. I'm like, you wrote this last night? She said, yes. I said, you just sat down and wrote this last night? It was like somebody else's third or fourth polished draft.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's good.
Really
good. Mm-hmm. That is amazing.
I wow. sat with her at boot camp at Storymakers.
Do you know what I'm talking
and
about?
And I've read her stuff. And I, well, actually, yeah, we were at Gordon Ryan's table. And we read, I know. And we, yeah, afterwards, I was like, holy cow, you were like phenomenally good. And mm-hmm. yeah, so she's like my sister friend now. So she's
wonderful.
Very cool. I had to adopt her because she's...
It's good to have friends like that.
Yeah. Maybe you can learn from
so me. How many editors do you have at Valor?
We have...
Tristy.
Just Tristy? No, we have Tristy and Maro Slider and Cassandra somebody or other. Cassandra.
I hope you're not listening to
She's
this, Cassandra.
Tired.
So three.
From
three.
Oklahoma. From Oklahoma.
Okay. Yeah, and are you slowly starting to have to, you know, as you're expanding, getting more people?
We're having to add people all over the place. Yeah. We're growing faster than I expected because we're getting authors that are coming with much bigger possibilities than I had expected any
really?
First-year publisher
So this
to have.
Is all across from authors... Or writers from across the United States, or
well, like for instance, the way Karen writes, if we market her appropriately, she will be bigger than J.K. Rowling. It's that simple. She's a better writer than J.K. Rowling and
right,
storyteller.
Right.
Every bit as exciting and intriguing, and the words still are gone. Enjoy. Well, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but you know, when little kids are just like, oh,
sorry.
What happened to Harry?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the same thing. She writes the same level of intensity.
I agree.
Yeah.
I love the dragons.
And then
underground.
You know, never could I have dreamed or imagined, as I mentioned before, that I would ever be publishing any unpublished Cleon Skousen manuscripts, let alone.
What an honor. I'm seriously.
So real. And then. Starting with the Attorney General's book.
Pretty high profile.
That was our very first
yes.
book. And then, like, Jenny James, her book that's coming out in June. QVC has called. And
really?
They are, I mean, I'm supposed to call them back and talk to them and work this all out. But the idea is to take Northanger Alibi, package it with Jane Austen's Northanger Abbey, and sell it as a gift set on QVC at Christmas.
Oh my!
Now,
that would be fun.
Wow.
So
I mean, can you imagine
how
she would feel, the author, how Jenny James would feel if that really came to be?
Jenny's the one, she ran into the head buyer or the head whatever at the Chicago airport. By the time she got to London, there was an email from them waiting for her, which she forwarded to me. And then called me from England and said, here's who it is and here's why, and we need to call him.
Oh, my.
So
wow.
Jenny did it.
That is just amazing.
that's like,
unreal.
You can't say that's happenstance. You know?
No, you can't even call that. Oh, wow.
Okay, quick question. Mm-hmm. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about what class you will be teaching at Storymakers Conference?
Yes, I'm teaching the class on pacing, which is a first track class.
Okay.
I had a line next to that one.
And that
yeah,
entails...
Well,
probably
is how the story moves along.
Right, so how to make it so that you avoid the slow parts, mm-hmm. basically, so you don't lose the reader's interest,
correct?
I will
need that. But
me too.
I'm kind of like you, Shanda. I'm more of a host, not hosting the party, but I'll buy your stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
So, right now,
I want to host a party, I'll be honest.
Hosting parties is fun.
Yeah.
I will one day.
When people come.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That would be great. Okay. One of the things that I tried to do with the Sapphire Flute, with the pacing, is if you'll notice when Amber has a slow part, Kayla has a high point.
Oh.
And when Kayla has, you know, a point where she's being more reflective or, you know, slower stuff's going on, then Ember has more exciting stuff that's going on.
I can see that.
So they kind of, you know, it's like a bump here, and as it one's lowering, then the other one bumps up. And so they kind of are constantly weaving. So
and just in case they get complacent, yeah, she throws in Satan right then.
Yeah.
Oh. So Satan?
Satan.
Oh, yes.
How's that spelled, S-A-T-A-N?
Yeah. Well, no. Actually, I did that on purpose.
Okay, I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, it's C apostrophe T A N.
Oh, Satan.
Her birth name was Selena Tan, but when she became evil, she contracted it. So
you know what? That's kind of coincidental. Pity for her, though. At one point,
you're supposed to.
That's her low point.
It was her low point. Yes.
Did anyone else just have the epiphany that authors are the ultimate manipulators?
You know what? I will tell you something that my husband told me a long time ago. And maybe I'm exposing myself by telling you this. Yeah. Okay, now I don't want to say it, but I have to. Okay. I had a point in my life where I wasn't as honest as I should have been about things. I had a spending problem that is not a problem any longer. But he said to me, "You are so gifted with telling stories. Don't use the stories that are inside of you
for evil.
For evil. Use them for good.
Use your powers for good."
He did. He told me to use my gift of storytelling for good things, to uplift people rather than to try to get away with things. And it totally changed my perspective on life. It changed who I was, just those simple words that he gave me. And it was after that that I decided to start writing books.
And she's still married.
Good hubby.
Yes, I am still married to him. Almost 16 years.
Good. Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, he's a good man. And I really, yeah, that was some amazing advice that he gave me in those early years. So anyway, and thanks to him then,
now we have Sapphire
Flutes. And I keep banging the table. I can't help it.
It's okay. It's okay. You're good.
You're not tapping your nails.
It adds to the drama and the excitement.
I am very excited, you know?
It is exciting.
It's been a 17-year journey for me on getting this done. So
can't even imagine.
You can't imagine the feeling that would come with the culmination of that, you know? Seeing everything come to fruition, just holding that book in your hand.
I can't imagine it. Okay, this is going to sound terrible probably, but because I was never able to have children, I adopted my sons. And so for me, it has been almost like giving birth. You know, you're taking a piece of yourself, a piece of your heart, which I always say, I feel like I'm taking my heart out and splatting it on the page, you know, but it's, you're taking a piece of who you are and putting it out there for the world to see.
And judge.
And judge, which has been a little challenging. But for me, it is, I told everybody when I first got my contract, it was about 9.5 months from contract signing day to actual publication date, and I was like, my baby is born.
Wow. No, was it you that I was talking to when at the Valor book launch? I was like, I'm so jealous. You've crossed that. You know, you're one of those people now.
You know? you're one of those, Karen.
When you cross that, you know, can you imagine? Like, it's just because I'm still on the other side of the fence. You know, you've crossed over into that greener pasture of being published.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Know?
It has its downsides on occasion.
It does. And you know what I've really realized now that I'm on the other side of the fence? Is it's no different from the other side.
You know,
except now you have a book with your name.
Exactly.
It is, but my point is that it has not changed who I am.
Right.
You know, I am still exactly the same today as I was a year ago.
She's still that humble, sweet woman, and she always will be.
I agree.
My hope. And I'll smack her down if she tries.
There's no one who can build you up or bring you down like Candace Salima. You were totally going along with that.
That's why you said that.
I was like, mom.
See, this is what it's been like all night. You can imagine. That's why we had to start this podcast out laughing. Because if we didn't start it laughing, we'd never start it. Because these are just very funny, happy, wonderful women. Does anyone have any other questions or anything else you'd like to add?
I just want
to
know if there's anything else Candace wanted to share with us about Storymakers or
Valor.
Well, Storymakers, let me say this. if you have forgotten how to dream, if you decided being a writer was something that was never within your reach, then snap out of it and attend this conference. It will change your life. Literally change, not me, literally change your life as to, you know, the world can get really, really ugly. There's no reason to ever, ever, ever give up on your dreams. And Stormmakers can teach you about writing, but the networking and the lifelong friendships that you make, that's probably the most amazing part.
I agree.
Writers are a unique bunch. We're the only people running around falling in love with our characters. And when you get to associate with other authors all the time, they get you.
Mm-hmm.
They get what you're saying, 100%. And they get when you killed someone and you bawled the whole time, and they understand why you bawled the whole time. So, yeah, don't give up. Start dreaming again. And I want to see you April 23rd and 24th at the Provo Marriott.
We'll be there.
Yes, exactly. go to LDSStorymakers.com, click on the Writers Conference, and sign up.
It's LDS Storymakers with one S, like LDS.
Well, both of them.
Storymakers. Oh, it's both ways? Okay.
You can put two S's in or one. Both of them will get you to the right page.
Oh, that's excellent.
Very good.
Yes.
They get that.
And then smart. Look for LDS yes. Women's Bookery there. Because
we'll be there.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be
if
there.
You're one of those authors or potential authors or aspiring authors, come and find us.
Yeah,
we'll chat with you for a few minutes.
We'll have the small recorder there. Yeah. But it really is a fun experience. I got to experience it last year, so I'm glad that Shanda and Hillary will get to
We're
come
excited
this year
too. Holy
we'll
cow.
Be able to be there.
So jealous. I couldn't go because I had a nursing baby and
I
couldn't be away
I was,
from
oh,
her
I had finals.
And you had
I was graduating finals. And all that stuff. Yeah.
So
it is fun.
And it's worth it every
I
single
look
day.
I look forward to it every single year. It's one of the high points of my year.
The food's good.
I am
too.
So excited.
Yeah, the food's pretty decent and the company's awesome.
Oh, yeah. And I can't wait to find... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say a couple things. I can say that all of my good friends, with the exception of one, I've met through the LDS Storymakers Conference.
Including her publisher.
Including my publisher.
Yeah. And we have more attendees published every year. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing how many get published every year.
Oh, that's
and I,
so
had, I met Lisa Mangum from Shadow Mountain there. Mm-hmm. And I had submitted to her before I submitted to Valor.
And
she
just got her second book to review.
Actually, oh, you're the second person I've heard say that. And I just want to read it.
Just got it today.
Did you?
I get on that one. Yeah, I know. How did we get on that one?
She gave me a phone call rejection. How cool was that?
Really?
I
haven't heard of
her. Was
phone
it nice? Was she nice?
She was so nice.
Well,
she
thing is, she
it.
Came up to me
at
the BYU Publishers Fair. Mm-hmm. She said, I'm so excited for you that you published Karen. I wanted to so bad, but we had no room for 3 years.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'm glad you had no room for 3 years because I got Karen. Yeah.
So they were out 3 years in publishing it. Mm-hmm.
And that's why they couldn't.
That's why they couldn't. Yeah. She said, we love it. The committee loves it. All of the readers love it. You've had rave reviews.
Oh, nice.
But we have no room for you for 3 years. And
rather but it's
than
better
it,
now.
It is
because it's
much better now because of Tristy. And she said it was too good to sit on a shelf for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Which
mm-hmm.
I thought
wow.
was awesome.
What an awesome rejection.
Hand it back to me.
If you're
going to
have a rejection,
yeah.
that would be like
that's
that.
Be like,
that's
like,
nice.
That's
like,
I wouldn't mind that rejection.
So,
rejection.
So I met her there. I, you know, obviously I met Candace there. And yeah, she liked me even though I wrote in first person.
Well, that's what's exciting for us as LDS Women's Book Review is we get to go meet these people and then we see their work, their hard work. We see their books get published. We get to meet them before they were big and famous or before they, you know, when they were kind of like us still, you know, still trying to.
We are still like you.
Yes,
we are.
Yeah, but you've crossed the. On the other
She's
side
on
of,
the fence.
It's
just a bush, really.
It's just a line in the grass.
It's just a line in the grass you can step over, you know? It's not as intimidating as it appears. I mean,
don't ever give
no,
up.
Seriously not. The reason this book took me 17 years to do was, number one, I have ADD. And number two, I did it the long way. I know. Seriously, though, I didn't know how to learn how to write. I just wrote and rewrote the first four chapters for 10 years. And
wow, right?
That's why
just
I did
the first four chapters.
Just the first four chapters. And then I discovered writing books. And so then I learned some from there. And finally, it was 6 years ago that I discovered
writing conferences completely by accident because I wanted to know when the fourth Jimmy Fincher books
was. Oh!
So I looked online and I found out, hey, James is going to be at a free conference at BYU! And so I went down to LTUE and stalked him for the weekend, and he never forgot me, and he, you know, he ended up endorsing this book, and he was one of the people who just really affected me.
You know, on the hardback, we have James and Jeff.
James and Jeff and Julie Wright. Yeah. And they are the three people who, at that first Storymakers conference, aside from Candace, who told me straight out that I could do this. That they gave me the confidence and they invited me into their little elite circle and let me go to dinner with them when there was nobody but the writers.
Wow.
There was never any question from the first time we all met Karen that she would be published one day. Never a question. It was just when.
Well, Julie Wright told me at the dinner we went to. There was James Dashner, Julie Wright, Josie Kilpack, Janet Jensen, Tamara Norton. Anyway, just them.
So cool.
And me. And I'm like, whoa. And Julie Wright says, Karen, I totally like you. You're just as weird as the rest of us.
That totally sounds like Julie.
You totally fit in with us. And it's been that way ever since. Julie and I have been good friends. We room together every year. We go to the Life, the Universe, and Everything conference. And, you know, it's just those three. And James had invited me to the group. And then Jeff wrote in the book that he signed for me, I want a copy of the first book you sell. And
he endorsed it.
Yeah. And then those three endorsed it. And so it's all come full circle.
It's amazing to see how much LDS Storymakers Conference has played a part in your success. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously you felt the desire to write. You did your best with what you had. You did some research. But it sounds as if it wasn't until you started attending these conferences.
Absolutely.
That things really started to move for you.
I 100% agree with that.
I'm so excited.
You know what?
Yeah.
You don't want those 2 days to end.
You don't.
You leave there and you're just so pumped up.
Your brain is so crammed and you're so exhausted, but you don't want to leave.
No, you don't.
It's just phenomenal. And seriously, pretty much everything that I have learned to the Storymakers Conference. I have been to a lot of conferences. I've been to the Life, the Universe, and Everything. I've been to Conduit. I've been to the BYU Writing and Illustrating for Young Readers Conference, which is also a very, very good conference, but it's a lot more expensive. But Storymakers has just amazing stuff and such a huge variety that covers so many different topics. And for the price, I mean, yeah, I will never, if I ever have a choice, I will never, ever miss this conference. It's that good.
You know, one thing I would end with is this, that I have taught at that conference every single year, and I spend the rest of my time going to classes to hone my craft. That's how good it is.
Mm-hmm.
The teachers go to the classes when they're not teaching.
They do.
That's right, because you only teach one or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then
one year I taught five.
Oh,
about how to stroke.
Yeah,
a lot. So they made a rule, I think, the following year that you couldn't teach more than two.
Sounds like a good rule.
I'm moderating the screenwriting panel, and then I'm teaching the pacing class.
But that allows you to be able to attend other classes and still grow as an author.
And it's really funny because as one of the teachers, you see what all the subjects are going to be.
Right.
And then we always email back the conference and organizers and say, okay, don't schedule me across from because I want to go to those classes. And so they work it all out so the teachers can go to the classes.
See, and that's really great. So you can keep working on that.
Yeah, and you know, they're really awesome because like on the morning of the 24th is the Republican Utah County Convention where I have to be at. And so they always work my schedule so that I'm not teaching and there's nothing I need to be doing so I can be at that because that's my responsibility and still attend the conference and still teach and go to the classes and everything like that. It's an incredible group of people. LDS Storymakers is an authors association that is incredible beyond all measure.
And they have no problems. They don't shut people out. They will stay. They will help. They will answer questions.
Yeah.
They are encouraging. They see potential in everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very uplifting. All the people that are teaching classes, we've met so many of them. And mm-hmm. they're wonderful people who have no problems going mm-hmm. above and beyond to help another person mm-hmm. to succeed.
Yeah, they're an awesome group of people. Mm-hmm. We are an awesome group of people.
Yes, you are.
You are.
Wait, well, Karen and I are story makers.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm a brand new story maker. So
yes.
I can say this with authority that I wouldn't be where I am without this group of people.
Mm. Well, me too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true, because you were there.
Where my first book got published. Mm,
yeah. But see, you were one of my big influences, so.
Aww. Well,
Karen and Candace are such good friends. You should tell us.
I love Candace. No, I love Karen. Well, we are really good friends.
Well, and that's just another side benefit.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Of going to the conference and meeting all these
people.
I'm
telling you, lifelong friendships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At these types of conferences.
Yeah. No joke.
You know, April 23rd can't get here fast enough. I need a break from my kids.
And
I need to go be with my peeps.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's your village.
It is.
It
yes.
Truly
they
is.
Understand
that's a great
you. Yeah.
Please don't say it.
I don't want to be
no,
the idiot.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying conference. Well, okay, not all conferences because, I'm sorry, but the people at Conduit are not my village. If anybody's ever been there, they come in
costumes.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, they're, some of them are, not all of them, but the people at LDS Storymakers in particular and writers in general, they're your village. They get you. You know,
mm-hmm.
I actually, okay, the main character in my other story that Candace still needs to look at. His name is JJ. And I got in the car with my kids one day and we all buckled up and I turned around and I went, where's JJ? Where's JJ? And I went, he's fictional. They become such a part of your life.
They do.
You
they
know?
Do.
They're so much in your head and in your heart. That they become a part of your life. You think about them all the time, just like you think about your kids. Sometimes more than you think about
them.
You know?
Thank you for coming.
Yes,
I,
thank
this
you.
Has been such a fun and wonderful podcast visiting with you.
It's been a great evening.
Great evening. And
thank you.
If you are attending, if any of our listeners are attending LDS Storymakers and you see Karen or Candace, make sure you stop and say hello and tell them you heard them on the podcast.
Yes.
If you don't, that's okay. But,
we'll forgive
you. Look for them, say hi, and see if you ever get a chance to get to know these two ladies, don't pass that chance by. Take advantage of it.
Thank you,
Sharon. I agree.
Yes,
absolutely.
And I thank you for driving all the way out here, both of you. It's not real far for you, Candace, but still
oh
a ways.
Oh, my gosh.
Still a ways.
So
yes.
Just
to and Karen, you have to drive a little bit of a ways, but
yeah. That's all right.
It's great to for you to take the effort to come and
yes,
spend this time
you.
With us.
I appreciate
too.
It a lot. Thank you.
If you haven't checked out our Blogspot blog, go to ldswbr.blogspot.com. That's where our book reviews are being posted at. We also have a Facebook page. You can find us on Twitter at ldswbr. And we also have, of course, the podcast homepage at ldswomenswbookreview.com. So...
Or and just Google it.
You can
Google
it. Google
it. She'll find us. We're out there.
Yes.
I've Googled this several times.
And if you want to send us an email, you can reach us at ldswbr@gmail.com or individually at Shanda, Sheila, or Hillary at ldswomenswbookreview.com. So I know that's a lot, but I have to kind of put
so
it
I
in
hope
there
you
in
were
case
writing
someone's...
all that down.
Yeah.
Or you can just
Google.
Just
Google it.
You can send it to ldswbr@gmail.com and I'll forward it wherever you want it to go.
And if you are on Facebook, of course, like you said, that's down. We're there on Facebook.
Yep.
Join and become a fan.
Yep. So anyway, thanks for joining us for episode 43 and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.